Hello, I'm your host, Mr. Chuck, a retired accountant turned truck driver. I reduced my debt in a relatively short period of time. Debt reduction to achieve financial freedom takes commitment, confidence, determination. Continuing month's debt reduction tips. The process of paying down or off debt is never ending. Keeping the goals and information in front of eyes is important to achieve this goal. What to do when something goes wrong, do not give up, adjust and overcome is the order of the day. If you're starting into this process and you're fairly new, maybe you only been doing it for a few months, 2-3 months, and you really hadn't made any progress on your debt, but you're already thinking, when I get my credit cards paid off, I don't have to do all this. Or once I get my credit cards and my car loans paid off, then I don't have to continue doing this. And what I'm talking about is continuing doing your tracking on all your income and all your expenses, and then continuing doing your monthly budget and updating it on at least a weekly basis so you're aware of what's going on in your personal finances. That never really stops if you're serious about reducing your debt and, most importantly, trying to stay out of debt. At the bare minimum, you should try to no longer have credit card balances. That should be your goal. Once you get them paid down to zero and you get some other debt paid off and you increase your emergency fund and you're doing all these things and you're getting better off in your financial life, perhaps you're going to buy another home that's going to cost more. Perhaps you want to buy that new car you always wanted. Whatever the case, you still have to keep your finances under control, and you have to plan for whatever it is you want to do in your life, whether it's in the near future or distant future, whether it's saving more money for your college, your children's college tuition, or increasing your savings for your retirement so you can retire at an early age, or buy that second home, vacation home, or whatever it is you're wanting to do, you still have to do everything that you're doing now. It never, ever stops. So let's talk about the reason for that. Let's say that you get your credit cards paid off, but you still have two car payments, a line of credit, and a mortgage. That's still a pretty significant amount of debt. But you're getting yourself in better financial shape. You're no longer living paycheck to paycheck. You feel like you're doing much better. But just think, if you didn't have those two car payments, how much better will you be doing? How big is your emergency fund? So if you continue doing your tracking and you continue in doing your monthly budget and you're updating the actual numbers on your monthly budget every week, so you got an eye on what's going on and you look for things to reduce your spending and you're keeping those type of spending under control and you planning ahead on large purchases. You're saving up some money before you make a large purchase so you have a bigger down payment so you can finance less, or maybe not even finance at all, depending on how big of a purchase you're doing. So your emergency fund, as your debt is being reduced, your emergency fund should be increasing. Your goal for your emergency fund is to have 3 to 6 months minimum of your expenses in your savings account in case something bad would happen. And something bad would be losing your job, being laid off, being injured where you can't work, and you don't have any sick leave, things like that. You're planning for a bad event to happen in your life, and you have the financial resources to pay your bills until you can recover. And that recovery period, the longer you have, the better off you're going to be. If you have 6 months, you're going to be much better off than if you only have 3 months. So let's do a scenario. Let's say that you and your spouse were working, you're making a good income, $150,000 plus a year, you buy a nice home, you got two nice cars. When I say nice, I'm really saying expensive. You know, you have a $2,000 a month mortgage, you have two car payments of $700-$800 each, plus you are going out to dinner and you're having a good time and you're entertaining people and you're doing all kinds of spending. And then you decide to have children. Well, that's going to change everything. And so you have two children. Well, now we want to set up a college fund and start saving for that. And plus all the costs associated with having children. And you're still, you're getting by, but you're getting closer to that paycheck to paycheck scenario. But you still have enough money in your savings account if something bad would happen. So everything is still, you're doing good. So maybe then you decide, I'm going to buy this boat because my kids are going to be old enough and we can teach them how to water ski. And whatever the case, whatever you're thinking is. And that's a way you can then spend time with your children is on this boat. So you buy a boat and you get in. Now you're starting to struggle. Now you're kind of living paycheck to paycheck, but you're in denial. You're thinking that you're still doing all right because, I'm going to get a pay raise here in another couple months. I'll be fine. But then your wife comes home one day and says, I don't want to work no more. I want to quit my job and I want to raise my kids. I want to spend time with them while they're little, et cetera. So you agree. Now you're struggling. Now you're kind of overdrawn because you still got those two car payments. They're almost paid off, but they're not. So you still got that money going out. You got that new boat payment. You got that expensive house payment, plus all the additional expenses for diapers or whatever for the children and buying them clothes and all this kind of stuff. So now your emergency fund is starting to shrink down. So you get to the point where maybe you only have $500 or $1,000 in your savings account. So now you're really on getting to the dire straits part of your life. You still need to watch your spending even more because you have less income and you have the debt based on a higher income. So what do you do? Well, we have to adjust. We have to cut back spending somewhere to free up some money to cover some of these expenses because he's still working full time, making a good income, but it's just not quite enough. What can we do? Do you need two cars? Can you get by with one car? Can you sell one of them, pay it off, and get rid of that loan? Then that would free up some cash. Maybe you might consider selling that boat you wanted so bad because now you're really at the level where you may not be able to afford it. And if you sell one car, will you have enough money to pay the other one off so you'd have no car loans? Now, these are the type of things you have to consider when you're going through this process. But all the time this is happening, you're tracking your income and your expenses, you're watching your budget, you're cutting back on spending wherever you can. You watch your grocery bills. You watch how much gasoline you put in your car. I could fill my car up and not once a month. But why put all the money in my car when I can put $20 in there twice a month? And then run it down a little bit. And then I'm not putting all my money into my gas tank. That's the way I think. But that's the type of things you got to do because that extra $20 or $30 or $40 that you don't put in your gas tank could go to buying some groceries. And feeding your children may be more important than have extra gas in your car that you may not use right away. It might be there an extra week or so. that you can put in some more later as needed instead of now when instead of filling up. So that's the type of planning you have to do. And you have to adjust as you go through life. When things change and your income is reduced, then you have to look at ways to reduce your spending and maybe get rid of something that you can't no longer afford. You notice I didn't say get rid of the house because you need a place to live. But if you get in real dire straits and you're living off using credit cards to pay your bills, and you're just digging yourself in a deeper hole, maybe selling your house if you have equity in it, paying off the mortgage, and then buying a less expensive home with a smaller mortgage may be the way to go based on your new lifestyles and your new circumstances, because things change throughout your life and nothing ever remains the same. The other scenario is you're renting an apartment and it's $500 a month and you're making $30,000 a year. You graduated from college recently and you're looking for a new job. And then within 6 months, you get a new job. Now you're making $50,000 a year. In another 6 months, you get a pay raise. You're making $60,000 a year. And you don't like working for that place. So you're looking around. You get another job. A new job, now you're making $75,000 a year, and you're still living in that apartment, and you're saving up your money, and you're doing everything good, and you didn't buy a new car because you always had a company car, so you didn't need to buy a car, and so you have an old used car that you use for personal use or between jobs. Now you're at the point where you're looking, you're thinking about getting married and you want to buy a home, and what do you do? In this particular case, you have plenty of emergency fund savings built up because your income's increased, but your spending stayed the same. As far as your living expenses and your transportation, and maybe you're going out to eat more often, but you can afford it. And you get engaged, you get married, now you need a home. What do you do? Well, the first thing is you don't want to buy something you cannot afford. Don't buy that home your wife wants because it's in the right neighborhood, it's the right style of house, or whatever the case is. It's close to her parents, but her parents are fairly well off and you really can't afford that neighborhood. You know, you got to take your income in consideration before you consider buying a house. How much can you afford and what areas would that open up for you to look at? So don't even look at the houses you can't afford because there's no reason to dream about things you're not going to be able to afford at this point in your life. So buy a house that's maybe in the neighborhood your wife don't like, but she can tolerate it because it's closer to her parents, but it's more affordable. You don't have to struggle. Maybe it's a fixer-upper and you can do the painting and some of the stuff on your own, save some money. And then the major stuff you have contracted out as you get your tax refunds because now you got your mortgage interest and your real estate taxes to write off. So you're going to get a big tax refund. You know, all this kind of stuff comes into play. And then when you live there for 4 or 5 years or maybe a little bit longer, and then you got a couple more pay raise, and now you're making $150,000 a year instead of $75,000, and your wife's still working, and you got a bunch of money in your savings account, and you got your 6 months emergency fund built up, and then much more than that. And if you could sell this house because you now have got some equity in it because you fixed it up, it's much nicer. And of course, inflation and everything else. And you can sell it and have $30,000 extra and then add to that for a down payment. Now you can get a little bit closer to that house your wife wanted a little bit 5 years ago. You know, get a little bit bigger home, a little bit nicer neighborhood, whatever the case, and move up into it instead of trying to buy something you can't afford and then struggling and then perhaps losing it. Work your way up to it and be consistent and conservative on your finances, and you'll be much better off you did so. I'll be back in one moment with my final thoughts. If you're interested in learning about an online software that helped myself get out of debt, it does tracking, budgeting, and keeps track of all your assets and all your debt. It even tells you how much and when to transfer money into your savings account and how much and when to transfer money to your debt and which debts to pay off in order first. It's not cheap. It's a one-time payment, but it will definitely be an investment, something in yourself, and an investment in your personal financial life. If you're interested, send me an email at reducedebtincreasewealth@gmail.com, and I'll send you the information about this online software that worked great for me. Okay, one of my tips I have, back a couple episodes, I talk about paying off your credit cards, and when you get that first one paid off, don't close it. The reason you don't close it is because it'll hurt your credit score. If you have less credit based on your income, then you're going to have a worse credit score. So if you can leave it open, if they don't cancel it on you, then leave it open and don't use it. But down the road, within 3 months or 6 months, that credit card company is going to send you an offer, probably in the mail, maybe email, who knows, giving you the opportunity to transfer some money from other credit cards, is what we're talking about, onto here, transfer a balance, and for a, say, 3 or 5% fee for the transfer fee, and then give you 12 months or 18 months of no interest. And that's when you're going to start using this credit card. You need to figure out how much money you can pay towards that credit card on a monthly basis times 18 months, and that's the amount of money you transfer over. It's going to cost you a little bit more than that because of the fee for the transfer and the balance fee, but that's really no big deal. Within a couple months, the interest you saved on not paying interest on the other credit card, because you're going to take it off your highest interest credit card, you're going to actually save enough money on not paying interest to cover that fee for the transfer. So it's going to be a win-win situation. And then you make that monthly payment for 18 months. And the important part here is you must get paid off before the end of that 18 months, so they don't come back and charge you a bunch of interest for whatever the fine print says. I keep thinking, is they're going to charge me interest from day one for the whole balance for the whole year and a half if you don't get it completely paid off. So I always paid it off before the end of that process. If you want to be a little conservative and go a little bit later, a little bit smaller amount, that's fine. And then once it's to zero again, they send you another offer, you can do it again. And then you get another credit card paid off. Now, what you want to do is you never want to close your credit cards down unless they cancel them on you. Because the more credit you have available based on your income to credit ratio is getting better. So your credit score is improving. And why is that important? It's important because your insurance rates are based on your credit rating. And the worse credit rating you have, the more they're going to charge you for insurance, whether it's car insurance, homeowner insurance, whatever insurance you're trying to buy. So that is important because of that. And then when you want to go out and maybe buy another home or new home or a car, the better your credit rating, the better rate of interest you could get on that new loan down the road. It's important to keep your credit cards at a zero balance, and it's important to use them like cash. If you treat them like cash and you don't buy something unless you can pay for it right away, not next payday or two paydays from now, but you already have the money available to pay for it, then you can use the credit card. And then the following Friday or the next payday, I generally would go in and pay them off for that particular item. So I'm not carrying a balance. So nowadays, you can go online to your credit card statement and you can pay them off weekly. You can pay them off monthly. You don't have to carry a balance at all. So if you want to make sure you don't have a balance and don't forget about it, you want to pay it off 2 or 3 days after you make the purchase, because you got to let it flow through and it takes a couple days. And then you'll make sure you receive the item and make sure it's in good shape. Just, and you don't want to pay off your credit card and then have to return it and get a refund. You have this credit there that you're not going to be able to use for a while. No use tying up your cash someplace when you don't particularly have to. So you may wait a week to make sure you're not going to return the item or whatever the case would be. Conservative way to look at your finances. If, say, the two scenarios going on and you lose your job, and either or those scenarios, you got to have enough emergency fund to cover you for at least 3 months so that you can start collecting unemployment, maybe get a part-time job, start looking for a new job. Get, you know, because you're going to have a little bit of delay in getting your final paycheck. So that's going to help a little bit. But if it takes you a year to find a new job, you're going to be hurting if you only have 3 months emergency fund. If you have 6 months, you're still going to be hurting, but it's going to take longer. You can start working a part-time job and doing something. Maybe your spouse could go back to work and you stay home with the children, whatever. You have to adapt to the situation, and it's not set in stone. You have to be flexible. You have to be doing whatever it takes to get yourself through the particular financial problems that you're in. It's important to always be tracking your income and your spending, and always know about your budget. Even if the budget is 80% going into your savings account and the rest of it's just paying utilities and food and gas for the car and insurance when it comes along, you still have to track and you still need to have a budget so you know these things. And the more in the future you can see what's coming up and what's due, and the more you know what's coming up and what's due, the better you can plan for it and the better off you're going to be. There'd be no surprises. You shouldn't really have too many surprises in your personal financial life. You should be aware of what's going on, and you should know pretty much that if you lose your job or quit your job or whatever the case, that you'd be able to get by for X amount of time with no particular problems until you can get into an income-producing state again, whatever that may be. I'm just saying, just because you pay off your credit card doesn't mean you'd quit tracking and quit doing a budget. Just because you pay off your credit cards and your car loans means you don't do your tracking and don't do a budget. Just because you are completely debt-free means you quit your tracking and don't do a budget. I've been debt-free for a couple of years now, and I still track all my spending and all my income coming in, and I still have a monthly budget I update on a regular basis. Maybe not as often as I did in the past, but I still update it every couple times a month at the very least. As my bills are being paid throughout the month, I will update my budget and make sure I'm not going overboard somewhere along the line. Before making that next large purchase where you have to get a loan that's going to be multiple years, whether it's a 5-year loan, 4-year loan, 6-year loan, whatever it is, you got to know you'd be able to afford it. So here's a tip. figure out how much your down payment's going to be, and then figure out how much you're going to finance, and how much is that going to cost you. If, say, it's a new car purchase, you got to figure at least 9% interest. It may be a little bit lower than that, but figure 9% for 5 years or 6 years, what's your monthly payment? Once you know that, you figure that out, now without changing anything in your budget, put that amount of money more into your savings account. Pretend you have the loan, and every month put that much more into your savings account. If you have to take out money to pay bills, then you can't afford that payment. I don't want you to reduce your savings that you've already set up and set aside. Whether it's $100 a month, $50 a month, that's got to remain the same. We're trying to figure out if we can afford this loan. And if you can't put that amount of money aside and not take it back out of your savings account, even if it's $1, that means that you cannot afford that particular loan for that amount. So either you need to increase your savings or your down payment to reduce the amount that you're borrowing, or find a better rate of interest, or just don't buy that particular item. Do that for a minimum of 3 months, and better off if you did it for 6 months. This is called planning ahead. We're planning to make a large purchase, and if we know what the monthly payment's going to be, and if we can't make that continuously without taking money out of our savings account in order to pay other bills, then maybe it's something we can't afford at this time. Maybe you need to wait till you get a pay raise. Maybe you need to buy something a little less expensive. Maybe you need to get a better rate of interest on your loan. Whatever the case, maybe it's multiple items. But this is called planning ahead and looking towards the future and not just jumping in head first and hope everything works out to the best. Because, as I said earlier, there should be no surprises in your personal finances. And if you do these things, you'll be glad you did so.